Can I make a clarity? This guy is talking. I mean, his experience is he's coming from a certain perspective. But please, let me make it clear. Invite everyone. Invite everyone. Because the deal Sunday isn't going to be really, I mean, it might be about a lot of things, but the main thing it's going to be about is us changing from the inside out. Amen. And how many know all of us need to do that? I don't think there's anyone who won't be inspired. So invite everyone. You know what? And just so you know, nowadays almost every family is has someone in the family who's challenged with same-sex attraction. Okay. And the truth is there's so much in our society where, you know what, we don't, the only thing that's wrong to do is to say that's wrong. How many know what I'm talking about? And, but the Bible's clear. And so we need to love people and tell people the truth. And we need to tell people, you know what, that listen, I don't care what sin it is. If you're going against what God has laid forth in the Word, listen, it's gonna hurt you. You know what? God asked Paul, he says, why are you kicking against goads? Goads was a sharp stick. It's like, listen, God is on your side. Get on his side. Humble out. Recognize he's smarter than all of us. And start being obedient to what he asked you to do. And watch what will happen in your life. You know, or resist him. Do what you want to do. And God help you, because your life just goes down, spirals down, negative. You know what? And this is, listen, it doesn't make any difference what the sin is, but sexual sin is a huge deal in America today. And you know what? All kinds of people that come to church, and they just, you know what? They're just involved with all kinds of junk. And nobody says anything. Nobody calls it wrong. Nobody confronts. Here. Let me be clear. Here's what's appropriate. You're married. One man, one woman, and you could have all the sex you want. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. Okay? Or you're not married, and you're just waiting. Amen? And it don't make any difference. Listen, and it doesn't make any difference how old you are. And it doesn't make any difference that, you know what? What you want. I just, you know, all the excuses in the world, it's just not acceptable to God. It's just wrong. And so figure out, you know what I mean? But just understand, God's not against you. He's for you. You're against you. Does that make sense? You're against you. You're the one who's coming against yourself. So just give up. Stop holding on. You know what I mean? Amen.
And you know what? And it's just like, oh, Pastor, are you talking to me? I don't even know who I'm talking to. But listen, if you're living together, just get married. Just get married. Just get married. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, if we get married, and then you know what? Because I know the you know what? I don't know all the details, but I know there are all kinds of, if we get married, then you know what? Or you know what? We have this kind of assistance, and you know what? We'll lose that. And okay, do me a favor. Put your calculator away and understand, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. let's just say there's a $500 negative. You're going to get married, you're going to lose some benefit, and you know, $500 in the negative. What? At one point, you know what God asked? God says, is my arm too short? Do you think I can't come up with a $500 difference a month? You think that? See, you listen to me. Listen, I'm gonna love you. You can't get to the beach by going north on the 605 freeway. It ain't gonna happen. You can't get to Arizona by going west on the 10 freeway. It ain't going to happen. And you can end up in the mountains and pretend that that's the beach if you want. You can deceive you. You're just like, ooh. You can put little palm trees out and, you know what, put a grass skirt on and pretend you're in Hawaii if you want. But it's not true. So, and ultimately, Christianity comes down to this. Just trusting in God and believing that his ways, that he's smarter than you. And so for some of us, you know what? It's, you know what? We just figured it out because we've done it wrong so many times. But I like what Paul said. Listen to me. I like what Paul said. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I behaved like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. How many know there's a time that God will tolerate your craziness? But at some point in time, how many know, you know what? If you're in an earthquake and you're on the second floor, it's shaking a little bit. But if you're on the fifth floor, it's shaking a lot. What am I talking? Fifth floor is age. You know what I mean? At some point in time, God expects you to grow up, Jackson. And you will not have as much slack as he gave you before. Here, you want me to prove this to you? Look at the slack that God gave Moses early in his life. And look at the lack of slack he gave Moses when he was older in his life. Same God. But to whom much is given, much is required. And so in the beginning of his life, he just, you know what, you just don't understand everything. But the more you know what, the more you're responsible for. Amen. Okay, and that's not a good reason to stop coming to church. Amen. I'm just not going to go, la, 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 la. No, that's not the answer. Amen. Amen. Here, let me quote another scripture to you. The Bible says in the Old Testament, my children die from a lack of knowledge. You know what the verse says after that? And then they are still dying because they reject the knowledge I give them. Okay. So, you know what? But this isn't for a certain, oh, pastor's got somebody coming Sunday and they've come out of same-sex attraction. And now, you know, so, no. This is about that, but it's all about a lot more than that. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yep. So don't limit it to that. Okay. Is that clear? Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Yeah, my wife says I look like Fonzie. I will take that as a compliment. Turn with me to John, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to finish, we're going to get to the, take it up at verse, let's take it up at verse 32. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. On him is Jesus. We've gone over this. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize me, baptize with water, said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending, here you see it again, and remaining on him. The Spirit remained on Jesus. Okay. This is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. 37, you see it? And the two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, then translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speaking and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, now listen what he says to his brother. We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Okay, let's stop here for a minute. There is so much scripture in the Old Testament that talks about Jesus. That's right. Prophetic scripture that gives all kinds of details of of where he would be born, just all this details of what was going to happen in his life. And these men who are looking for the Messiah found the Messiah. You know, what's my point? My point is, Jesus says, anyone who seeks is going to find. That's right. Anyone who knocks, the door is going to be open. You know what? Anyone who asks is going to be answered. What is my point? My point is, you guys are seeking Jesus Christ. And so you're going to find him. Amen? You know, be careful not to criticize people as they are in their spiritual progression. Does that make sense? Here's why. If you have, let's take football for a minute. If you have someone in junior high and they have a potential to be just a fabulous quarterback, but they're still learning, how many know you can ruin them by being too harsh, too critical, too negative? Does that make sense? You know, I forget his name, but you know what? It's only his second year in the NFL. You know what? And he lost in the playoffs. You know what? What's his name?
Lamar Jackson.
And you know what? I mean, it's amazing you know, they're saying how great he is. And then he loses one game and they're talking about, oh, he really wasn't that good after all. Man, can we get rid of the negativity that we have? Watch this, even in the body of Christ. And listen, and I'm not saying that we're not our brother's keeper. I'm not saying that you don't particularly have to talk to people and be honest with people, particularly, listen to me, particularly if you've known them for a long time. And particularly if they've confessed to know Jesus Christ for a long time. Amen. Tamara and I will talk to all kinds of people that we know and they've been born again for a long time. At least they've confessed to know Christ for a long time. How many know just because you confess to know Christ don't mean you know Christ? Let me say that again. How many know just because you confess to know Christ doesn't mean you know Christ? Amen. So there's, watch this, there's this balance. And the balance is, you know what, that we do need to be honest with people, particularly if we've known them a long time, and particularly if they are confessing to be Christians. Amen. All right, well, you confess it. Watch this. How is it, Jesus asked this, how is it that you call me Lord and then not do what I ask you to do? That's what he asked. Why? Because he doesn't understand that. See? And these men are following Jesus. So we need to recognize there's all in church this size, you're going to have all kinds of different people. You're going to have some people, you know what, who don't know as much. And then, you know what, and they don't know as much. You know, how many know you can have you can have younger people who are in, maybe they haven't been born again as long, but because they have a desire, they're sold out to Christ, they grow faster than somebody else. Amen. It's like they're more mature than somebody been, you know what, saved for 30 years. Amen. But what we need to be balanced as a church is to make sure that we're not, we don't have a critical spirit, a self-righteous spirit. You know, that just makes me mad. And let me tell you why it makes me mad. It makes me mad because I get mad when anybody is hurt.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So somebody hasn't been here in a long time. You know what? And some unthinking saint of God will go up to him and say, man, where you been? Oh, well, that's really helpful. Thanks a lot, Jackson. I'm doing everything I can to get people here to hear the word of God. And we want the temperature right. And we want, you know what, the grounds right. We want all this stuff. And the music is good. And you know, all this stuff. And then you want to, you know what, just say that. Well, Pastor, what should I say? Here, how about this? Hello. How about that one? How about that? Hello. I'm glad to see you. Amen. See, can I teach you some? Because here's why. You know what? Satan's already beaten them up. They barely got in here. You're not helping. Man, and sometimes, can I be honest with you? Sometimes, man, you got to judge your motive. That you know where that came from? That came from a self-righteousness. Because I've been here for the last 8 weeks. And where have you been? Ooh. How many know that doesn't help? So there's all kinds of people, and they're following Christ. You know what? And Christ is going to say, come on, follow me. Yeah, but what about all the junk going on in their life? We'll work on that. How many know these guys are going to hear it from Jesus? But watch this. But these guys have seen how much Jesus loves them. You ever heard this adage? You know what? People don't want to know how much you know till they know how much you care. See, once you start, you know, when I was children's pastor, we only had a volunteer staff. Everybody was volunteer. But we used to tell the volunteers, we're going to skating. I'm going to have a skating party with the kids. And it's mandatory that you show up. It's not an option. It's mandatory. Well, why did you do that? Here's why. Because that teacher who was teaching the fifth graders, you know what? If they would come to the skate party, they'd skate around with them, would they not? And how many know in a course of time, they're going to fall on their behind? Is this not right? And when they fall on their behind, that fifth grader is going to see, you know what, that teacher fall on their behind, and they're going to laugh. And the teacher's going to laugh, and then the one, you know, fifth grader is going to try to help him up, and then he's going to fall down too, and then they're going to have a soda together, they're going to have popcorn. You know what, they're just going to have a whole time together. Watch this. And then Sunday's going to come. And that teacher is going to teach, just like he did the week before and the week before and the week before. But the difference this week is that fifth grader is going to connect and hear more than he's ever heard before. Why? Because that fifth grader knows that that teacher could have done whatever he wanted, but he was at the skate rink with him on that Saturday. Amen. Does that make sense? So I remember I would teach kids, and I had learned from someone who was a phenomenal children's pastor. His name was Willie George. Now Willie George is a senior pastor of a phenomenal church. But I learned, one of the things I learned is to be a good storyteller. And so it's going to sound braggadocious, but I could get kids' attention, and I could keep their attention for the whole story because I worked real hard on it. I used to tell the teachers, hey, you know what? You know how you'll be a better teacher? Stop going over the lesson from your house to the church Sunday morning. But they used to come up to me and say, Pastor, man, you are so good with these kids. You are so awesome. They were very complimentary. And they would say, how do you do it? And I'd say, here's the main thing you need to do is show up.
Oh, come on. There it is.
I can't tell you how many kids I'd have just come up to me. And they just come up to me, and they're like, what do they want? They want me to go, dude, good to see you, man. I'm glad you're here. Man, you're the man. That's all they want. And then they want me to do it again next week. What do they want? They want me to do what? Just do it all day long. And I was there Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday. And then I'm roller skating with them. And you know what? And they knew, man. And it made a difference when you're teaching them. Because now they know this guy's not, you know what? Man, Pastor Drew just loves me. He's just there for me. Is this making sense anymore? And so we've got to understand, listen to me, that as we mature in the things of God, there are people. You say, Pastor, why do you make that all? Why do you talk about all that? Here's why. Because there's people that are going to follow you, just like they follow Jesus Christ. Because here's what's going to happen. Because you, how many perfect? Raise your hand if you're perfect. Raise your hand if you're perfect. Okay. Okay. Raise your hand if you're better than you were 8 years ago. Raise your hand if you're better than you were in your behavior. Come on, please, somebody. Okay. Okay. Well, watch this. If you're better than you were 8 years ago, you might be better than you were 4 years ago. You might be better than you were 2 years ago. You might be better than you were a year ago, 6 months ago, a month ago. What's taking place? Here's what's happening. You're getting better and better and better and better. And you still have a ton of work to do, but you're getting better and better and better. And here's the thing. When I say better, here's what I mean by that. I mean that you're acting more like Jesus. You know what the main thing needs to get better? Is your attitude. And you're just changing your attitude, and you're just falling in love with Jesus, and you're more forgiving, more gracious, more loving, more optimistic. All this stuff is just getting better in your life. And other people see it. And you're going to turn around, and you're going to have people who are following you. And you might be like Jesus and turn around and say, why are you following me?
There it is. Why are you following me?
What do you see? We want to know where you're going.
Yeah.
We watch this. We see that you're going somewhere. We see that you care about the relationship with your wife. We see that you care about the relationship with your kids. We see that you're going somewhere. We want to know where you're going.
Oh, come on. There it is.
Does this make sense? And they said to him, or 38, then Jesus turned and seeing they were following them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, translated teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. That was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speaking followed him, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we had found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Why? Because they knew.
Yeah.
They had studied the scriptures enough to know this is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, watch this. He said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Now, watch this. Can I tell you what God does? God sees who you are. He knows who you are. But he doesn't speak that over you. He speaks that which isn't as though it was. I could give example after example after example, but here's a good example. Because Peter is about inconsistent as you can be.
That's right.
One day he's rocking it and 30 seconds. Do you know this? It is the same conversation that Peter says, Christ says, who do men say that, you know, I am? And they're like, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, who do you say I am? And it's Peter who says, let me tell you, you're the son of the living God.
Yeah, that's it.
And he says, wow, Peter, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you.
but my Father did. It probably was less than a minute later that Peter, here's what the Bible says, takes Jesus aside and starts to correct Jesus, saying that he shouldn't go to the cross. And then Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Who's that? Peter. You know what? Up one side, down the other. You know what? Rocking it, then just totally blowing it. Peter, you know what? Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out there. Jesus says, come. 1 minute, he's walking on the water. 30 seconds later, you know, think about how dorky this is. You know what causes him to sink? He sees the wind blowing. Think about this for a minute. You can walk on the water if the wind's not blowing. But if the wind's blowing, you're going to sink. Is this crazy? But that's what it says. That's what got his eyes off Jesus. He's looking at it, and then all of a sudden he's, watch this. But God, even before he's seen all this inconsistency, he knows who he is, but he doesn't call him inconsistent. He says, let me tell you who you are. What's the consistency of a rock? Solid. Completely. You ever picked up a rock and it's mushy on one side and hard on the other?
No.
Listen, never in your life. Listen, never in your life has that happened. Never. What's he saying? He's saying, watch this. And every time he calls Peter, he's saying, you know what? You're a rock. You're consistent. You're consistent. He did the same thing with Abraham. Abraham's name was Abram, and he changes it to Abraham, the father of many nations. You know, when he was calling Abraham father of many nations, you know how many kids he had? None. And he was old. What am I saying? That's how Jesus is. It's one of my pet peeves. These crazy Christians who don't understand how powerful your tongue is need to read the Bible. The Bible says with your words you're going to be justified, and with your words you're going to be condemned. The Bible says everything that God made, he made with that which you cannot see. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, if they had an instrument to do this, they could go out into space. This is real science. They could go out to space, and they could if they had some kind of not speaker. If they had translator. Translator is the wrong word. I'll think of it in a minute. If they had some kind of device that they could take a sound wave and interpret it, they could go out there and they could retrieve what Abraham Lincoln said. Do you know this is true? It's absolutely true. Because, listen, your words... How come you didn't hear anything right now? Because there's no sound waves going. When you shut up, the sound waves stop. This is deep, is it not? So Jesus is going to, you know what, with his words, continue to speak every time he calls Peter, Peter. You know what? He's saying, let me tell you what. You're a stone. Every time he calls Abraham, Abraham. He changed Abraham's name. Now it's not every time that God calls Abraham, but it's everybody in the family is now speaking. Watch this. Light bulb's going to go on. When I was a kid, my parents, who were
they did a really good job. Amen. I'll give you another chance to say amen. You missed that one. They did a really good job. Okay. They were gracious, awesome, godly parents. But you know what? But whatever. They didn't know everything. You know what? They made some mistakes. And one time they used to call me, what did they used to call me? They used to call me a lug. A big lug. Well, I didn't know exactly what a big lug was, but I figured out it wasn't very good, probably. And one time I told them, stop calling me a big lug. Listen, parents. You see things in your kids that God has put in them. How many raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You're like, wow, wow. You speak to that. You call that out of them. Amen. I used to call my kids, still call them. You know what? My three angels. Why? Because, you know what? Yeah, but you know what? So many people when they're, you know what? When they get in the teenage years, you know what I mean? You say, oh, you know, I'd say, oh, yeah. You know what? You got three kids. Yeah, what? They're 12, you know what? 14 and 17. Shut up. No, really. Listen, now this is a true story. If you went to church here, because I said it enough, you know what? You're going to have a problem with me if you spoke a cursing over my teenagers. Why? Because, man, I expect you to pull with me towards righteousness, not unrighteousness. Come on, you know better. And we are our brother's keeper. We're not talking about any of the teenagers that way. They got enough challenges that we're not pulling on the wrong side. Amen. And I'm still that way. Oh, you know what? Yeah, but and listen, and I know maybe they're not going exactly, you know what, the way you want them to go. But I tell you what I'm going to do. With my words, I'm going to bless them. I'm not going to curse them. Yeah, but that's not even, you're not even speaking the truth. Oh, okay. Okay, genius. Okay, spiritual genius. You know what? So here's what your plan is. Your plan is, you're going, and if you hear the disgust, that is disgusting. If you hear the annoyance, that is annoying. If you hear that is condemning. And we got we don't got time for this. We don't got time to, with our mouth, bless God and then curse our kids. We don't got time for that. So, you know what? We're going to speak blessing over our kids. Amen. And that's what, watch this. And this guy, what's Peter? This is his first day. You know, really, in discipleship of Christ. And God says, let me tell you what. Why? Because I know who you are. And I'm not going to speak what I see. I'm going to speak, you know what, what's not as though it were. The whole time. Watch this. You can go Matthew, Mark, John. The whole time. Peter, God's not changing his mind at all concerning this. You'll see it over and over again. He's saying, you know what, Peter? You're a rock. Yeah. You know, every time he says Peter, he's calling him a rock. Amen. Does this make sense? You speak to your church, man. Speak over me. Speak help, man. I tell you what, our pastor's healthy. Man, he's the healthiest 47-year-old I ever seen in my life. What you laughing at, Jackson? Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Man, just speak. You know what? To the marriages in the family, in the family. Speak life, amen. To our kids, speak life. To our finances, speak life. Amen. Here, how about this? How about imagine this? You know, see, understand your position, your part. We said it last week. If you got, or I don't know when we said it, not too long ago. If we got this person bringing it, and 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 they're just bringing a stream and stream and stream, we already got a little flood in the first row. Does that make sense? Imagine you're coming and you come into church saying, I tell you what, see, that's what, listen, and this is what I expect. I expect you to come and I expect you to be taught this Sunday, and I expect you to be changed this Sunday. And I expect that you would come with your supply and say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be radically, God is going to just radically show up Sunday, and we're just going to have an incredible time. Does this make sense? Here, how about this? How about bringing, I'm going to go there, just so you know, I'm going to go there. I'm not afraid to go there. How about you bring, you know what, your tithe in Sunday? Ooh, that, yeah, amen, brother. How about you bring your tithe in Sunday, you know what, and bring an offering Sunday, and watch this. And how about you say, you know what, I tell you what, offering this Sunday is going to be worse. We're going to have one of the biggest offerings we ever had this Sunday. Amen. Yeah, you see, we don't think about that, but offering is an indication. Oh, see, some pastors wouldn't ever say this. Offering is an indication of our love for Christ. Ooh, I can't teach it because I'm out of time. But watch this. You go home. Give me my laptop or my tablet. Thank you. Oh, God is good. See, I was watching a service one time. This is in this last year. Watching a service in this one church. If I mention the church, you'd all know what church it is. Pastor, what church? None of your beeswax, amen? That's not the point. But this person, they were taking up offering, and here's what they said. God, and whoa, I gotta disclose this. Don't anybody say amen, because if you say amen, that would be the wrong time. Here's what they said. They said, God, bless those who give. Imagine this, right before they're taking up offering. God, bless those who give, bless those who don't give, and bless those who can't give. What's wrong with that, Pastor? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that. Number one, everybody's supposed to give. See, that's a lie from the pit of hell, saying some people can't give. You know what giving is? Giving is you trusting God, you know what, that you can live on 90% and God can replace that and bless you, you know what, with even more than 100%. And everybody's required to do that. You know what? And here, I'll give you just a more one. You just want to shake your head. Bless those who don't give. You know, that is absolutely un-New Testament. No. Don't be deceived. Can I tell you about God? God is saying, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Oh, I'm just going to forgive. I'm just not going to forgive anybody. And that's just, you know, tough. God's like, are you kidding me? No, you're freely you have received, freely give. That's the New Testament. Bless, bless those who don't give. Oh, my God. It's like unbelievable. But you know what? And I'm telling you what. The pastor of that church should have stood up right in front of everybody and say, you know, bless your sweet, ignorant heart, but you got to sit down. Because I am responsible for what these people are learning. And I cannot tolerate that. Nobody said nothing. But hallelujah, I'll praise the Lord. Okay, that was all free. Oh, man, praise the Lord. When you get home, you look up Matthew 6. 6:22, the Bible says, the lamp is the eye. And you know what you're going to find out God's talking about? God's talking about finances. You read 19 through 30. Matthew chapter 6, you read 19 through 30. And the whole portion is talking about, you know what, people and their finances and having the right attitude about their finances. Whole thing is. So no matter what it is, you know what? We are called to be example to others. We're called to come on Sunday and expecting God is going to do supernatural things in our life. We are called not only to receive, but we're called to be part of what God is doing. In 2020, I'd encourage you. And I'm not looking at anybody, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, except to say I'm pointing the finger at everybody. Oh, come on. But one of the things that we do in this church is we sit and we serve. And maybe, you know what? Maybe you used to sit and serve. Maybe you got away from that. Maybe you never sat and served. You know what God spoke to us at the beginning of last year, or the end of last year? Here's what he said. We're going to grow as a church. Can somebody raise their hand and tell me how he said we're going to do it? How are we going to do it? Not like, oh, we're going to do it numerically. We're going to do it fine. No, no, no. How are we going to serve? How are we going to grow? He gave us instruction. It's like he said, hey, we're going to move the car, and the keys are over there. And told you exactly, how did he say, how were we going to grow? Okay, one person, two person, three person, four person, five person. What do you think it was? It was serving. How many five got it right? Okay, good for you. God said, here's how we're going to grow as a church. We're going to serve better than we served last year. And here's what he said. I'm not even necessarily saying that you're not serving well. I'm just saying that's how we're going to grow. Can we, just before we end, and I'll dismiss you in a minute, can we just corporately come and can I recruit you to not just come to church Sunday? Can I recruit you to come with your portion Sunday? Can I recruit you to come believing that this, watch this, could imagine this, that the whole, just everybody here just tonight would be believing for just a breakthrough supernaturally Sunday. See, can you see how powerful that is versus me and Tamara believing for a breakthrough? Do you see that? I'm recruiting. Raise your hand if you say, Pastor, I'm going to bring it Sunday. I'm bringing my supply Sunday. Raise your hand if that's you. Father, you see the hands. I'm recruiting. You see the hands that are up. I thank you, Father, for every person that's here. But Father, we pray that there are so many hurting people. We pray that they'll come from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. That Father, the Sunday service in Esperanza 2 is just going to be packed Sunday. We thank you for a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit. We pray even now for Beckett, Father, just minister to him today and tomorrow and Friday and Saturday, that you're just preparing his heart to just speak the message you have for us. May we be bold to invite people this week, the rest of the week that we have. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your willingness to see Peter, not who he was, but who you were going to turn him into. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.